Well, Lord, we thank you for another good night. We thank you, Father, that you have brought us all together once again for a great night of fellowship and teaching and listening and sharing and all of those things, Lord. We ask and we pray, Father, that tonight that your Holy Spirit would guide and lead us tonight. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that the things that we've prayed for are coming to pass. We thank you, Lord, that your angels are set in place to drag down the people of the swamp and to drain that swamp, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that the people in the deep state that are going to be yours, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you save them. Grant repentance to them and bring them into the kingdom in a mighty way that can make great salt or falls out of them, Lord. Praise you for that. And Lord, we thank you that your protection is all about President Trump and all of his cabinet. And Lord, excuse me. And I thank you, Lord, for rooting out all the leakers in his cabinet. And we thank you, Father, that you're going to bring down this faction called the deep state, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I thank you doing it. I thank you, Lord, for doing it all over this world. And that the angels would go out and as we prayed last night, Lord, I thank you that they're already on the job. And the things that we prayed last night are being done, Lord. I have faith to believe it, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that it is being done. And I thank you, Lord, for getting them all that are involved from the top to the bottom, Lord, that you would have them pulled out of there, and the ones that have killed a lot of folks, killed folks, Lord, just put them in jail where they belong. And that would be the ones that are ahead of this thing, Lord. And I praise you, Lord, for all that you're doing in this world because of your saints' prayers. And I thank you for it. Lord, I lift up Christopher, and I thank you, Lord, that he is healed. I haven't heard anything, but I thank you, Father, that he is healed. That everything that we prayed for this afternoon has been done. That every organ in his body has been replaced or restored, Lord. And I praise you for it, Father. And that he's come out of the coma. And that he is a new man in Christ. And I thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, has anybody got a prayer request? Or a testimony, or a praise report. There's our pair of duty. Hey, girl. How you doing? There's Sue's hand. There's Sue's hand. She's disconnected from her body, I guess. I don't know. I was just thinking. All right. Anybody got anything, any testimonies or praise reports? Yeah, go ahead, Leon. I see Leon there waving. I didn't know if he was waving at Judy or what.
No, I was waving at you.
Okay.
Anyway, I was going to give a testimony. I mentioned last time we met that I wasn't going to, that I was planning on giving a testimony about my knee, but it was hurting again. But anyway, what happened was I've got a metal knee. It's titanium. I had it replaced about 8 years ago. And just after the fast, it started hurting so bad. I've never felt it like this. But it lasted about a week, and I could walk up the stairs pretty good, but getting down the stairs was very, very painful. so I asked, I asked the folks around here to pray for me, and they did. And I just rented an apartment, and on Sunday before, I went and signed the lease on Monday, but Sunday before that, my knee started feeling better. And then on Monday, it felt better. And Tuesday, I was able to walk up and down the stairs at this new apartment and take boxes and carry them, and I had no problem at all. And it was really good. But then Tuesday night, it was hurting again, or, you know, it started hurting again. And then by Thursday, I had Michael pray for it again, because it was hurting somewhat. Not as bad as it was the prior week, but now it's fine again. It's absolutely fine. So I'm blessed by that. And last night at the fellowship, we prayed for a friend of mine in Chicago who's had a swelling on the right side of her stomach and pain, severe pain and so forth, and God healed that too. So the stomach is still a little swollen, but it's not near as painful, she said. I talked to her tonight, and she said that she's feeling much better, and she thanked everybody for their prayer. So praise God for that. So he's working in us. He's working in us. And then Lexi at the meeting last night, Lexi's a 13-year-old girl, and she was saying that the Lord told her that whoever she put her hand on was going to be healed. And so she made her way around and touched not everybody, but a lot of people. And so we're expecting a total healing coming up. So praise God for that. He's faithful. He's faithful.
Yes, he is. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, go ahead, CG.
I just have two testimonies that are real little, but they were kind of, it was kind of neat. Judy and I, about a week ago, we, after the prayer meeting in the morning, we went outside and went for a walk. But before we saw all these chemtrail clouds all over the place, and we prayed against it before we got into our house. And we didn't know we were going to go take a walk. And then we decided we were going to take a walk. And before we went outside, there was all them clouds and everything. And as soon as we got outside, we started to get blue skies. And the whole place, from one end of the road to the other where we walked, everywhere around us was clear blue skies the whole time we were walking. And then we went in to eat breakfast. And then I went and looked outside about 10 minutes, 15 minutes later, and the clouds were back again. I thought, Lord, you're awesome. You just let us have clear skies while we were taking a walk. And that happened again today. I was with Debbie and Shay, and we went to the park, and there was clouds around and everything. And she didn't know if it was going to rain or anything, and so we prayed against the rain, and we told the chemtrails they had to go away, you know, and clouds. And so when we started walking, the sky got clear and the clouds were gone. The nasty looking clouds left, and there was nice little puffy little ones, like natural ones. It was just really neat, you know. We thank the Lord for that too.
Amen. So, amen.
Amen. That's it for now.
Okay. God wants us to believe him for everything, don't he? Amen. All right. Anybody else? Well, I'm trying to get these names on here. Anybody else? Oh, that's I'll think of it here in a minute. Thank you. Tracy's on here too. But she can't talk, so. Okay. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Marlon, how you doing, brother?
We're still hanging in there.
Yes, sir, you certainly are.
I take this opportunity to thank everybody for their thoughts and their prayers and cards, and it's really good to know that you have like-minded people praying for you and thinking about you.
Amen.
Just really thank everyone. I get cards and phone calls from people, you know, that are still in the apostate religion, and their prayers usually are, well, if it's God's will to heal. Of course, I guess we were there once, so we understand that. And I think God does give them grace, you know, even because I do see some of those people getting prayers answered. I think at this time he still does give them grace. But it's just really, I just really thank everyone for this being with us in our thoughts anyway, thoughts and prayers. And we've really seen the Lord work in both our lives and in our daughters. Just amazing. They actually at times speak the word now where, you know, they used to not speak anything considering God. And it's just really seen a change in all of them, all three of them. And we just thank him and praise him for that. And I'm sure he's going to continue to work in all of us through this trial, because it's a great trial, I can tell you that.
Amen. Amen. Marlon, well, you have to know that we're all standing beside you, and we're still praying for you, and we're believing for you, and we know God's doing a mighty miracle there. Yeah, we thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Again, thank you all. Amen. I know, Greg, that you're all praying for me, and I really appreciate that. I know that helped.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. One question, Marla. How many cars do you end up with?
I still got another one today.
they still coming in, huh?
It's somewhere around 100, between 110 and 20, somewhere in there. And a lot of people just called instead of send a card, too. So.
Yeah. Awesome. That is awesome. Thank you, Lord. Well, what if some of y'all don't know, the I think his kids got together and asked everybody to send cards on his birthday. And he got that many. And so that's awesome. That is so awesome. God's people get together and they bless folks. That's good. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody got a praise report or testimony? Or a prayer, or even a prayer. Let me just relate something while we're waiting on somebody to think about what they got a praise report about. Because I know everybody's got a praise report. I mean, you woke up this morning, your eyes was open and you're breathing, you got a praise report, right? All right. Thank you, Lord. But last night, we all, on Monday nights, we have our prayer meetings. And, last night, we got to pray, and all of David asked that we all pray for the nation, for specific things in the nation and the world. And then he asked that we pray in the Spirit and thank God that the prayers have been answered. And I just so happened, and everybody was really praising God. I mean, it was awesome. It was really awesome. And I stepped outside and went out around the back. Got my shofar out of the truck and got on the front porch where nobody could see me, and I started blowing that thing. Boy, and the shouting went to going on. It was awesome, really. Actually, it was good. People said that goosebumps came up on their neck, you know, and their hair stood up on end. And man, I mean, everybody was having a blast. I walked inside afterwards. Gabe looked at me. One of the guys looked at me. He laughed. He said, man, I thought that was coming from straight from God. He said, I didn't know that you stepped out there and done that. And it was awesome. And it was. It actually was. It was great. Yeah, Leah. I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said it was absolutely perfect timing, too,
yep.
Because we were all entering into the Lord, and it was like, wow, it's amazing. I love it.
That yeah, was it was good. Well, you know, it was Sue Farr that asked me that morning. She said, would you bring that shofar? I said, yeah. So I left it out in the truck. She'd come over while we was getting ready to sit down. She said, did you or did you not? I said, I did. I said, but I left it out there in the truck. And I believe it was the Holy Spirit coordinating that whole thing, because it was awesome. It was awesome. But we had a great time last night in the Lord. It was great praise and worship, great prayer time, and great fellowship. It was just good. Amen. Seems like the Lord takes us deeper and deeper every week. Thank you, Lord. I know that's holy water, Judy. I know that ain't no soda pop. Gatorade.
It's grape juice.
Grape juice. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else get blessed yesterday and today, this weekend? I was. Oh, let me tell you a little testimony. We had some wind here about a week ago, I guess, and it knocked down one of our large trees out in our front yard. Well, our front yard is a mountain that goes right straight down, you know, kind of like that right there. And down about, oh, I don't know, about 100 foot or so, maybe, yeah, probably about 100 feet. It knocked that big old tree downhill or across the hill like that. That thing was 11 feet in circumference where I could measure it. And it was hollow. And I told David, I said, look at that thing, man, after I cut it, you know, I cut it in two. I said, look at that thing, man. The kids would have a blast crawling up in that old log, you know. Kind of like G.V. Bevington, you know, how he used to crawl up in the log and Blevins, or whatever his name was, crawl up in that log and pray, you know. I said, them kids have a blast in there. And so we made it up amongst ourselves to get that thing out of there. We cut a big, probably one about 18, 20 feet long, the biggest part of it. And it's the hole in that thing is about this big or bigger. And, about, you know, big enough for them kids to crawl in and out of if they want to. And we had to take that thing up the hill, snake it up the hill, and, oh, man, Brandy came over, and he helped us do that. Me and David worked on it for about 2 days, and then Brandy and him worked on it today. I had to study to get ready for the broadcast tomorrow and tonight. And anyway, I went back down there, and they had it turned where we was going out. And we got it up to the highway. We got it up to our driveway. So we're going to put that thing. We've got a place up on top of the hill where we've got a playhouse up there for the kids that Brandy and myself and David made, a treehouse, actually. And then we've got a place to barbecue and gather around a bonfire up on top of the hill, on the very top part of the hill, mountain. And so we're going to take that thing up there and have it for the kids to play in. When they, you know, Obadiah will be able to, he'd be able to stand up right now and walk right on through there. And so it's going to be an awesome time for the kids when we get it up there. It's when we get it up there, I'll make a picture of it and put it up here and show y'all what we got. It's really neat.
So, Michael,
yeah.
There's a picture posted of that tree.
Yep, that's the tree.
Sunday night podcast. So, yep. Was that David there in the picture?
Yeah, that was David.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that was David. I was taking the picture, and David was standing up there next to it to show you how big it was. And, yeah, that was it. Well, we had a terrible time getting it out of there, but we finally got it out of there. A little funny
way. Did you use that, like a chain or cable, like and pulleys and stuff?
We used a rope.
Oh.
We used about a 3/4-inch nylon rope, about 75 feet long, and a come along, and a pickaxe, and a pickaxe, and a 30 horsepower hydrostatic drive tractor.
Oh my goodness!
Pulled it out of there, and a couple of car hoods. We put the front end and the back end of car hoods on there, old car hoods, to make it so it slide on that rocks and stuff pretty easy. Got it out of there. Got it up there. Where I can, we're going to try to get my trailer underneath it and get it on that trailer and just take it up there with the tractor. So, yeah, it's pretty neat. If we get it all fixed, I'll show you a picture of it. With maybe I can talk David into crawling up in there, and I'll take a picture of him crawling up in there. I doubt I get him to do that, but we're going to try. All right, because I don't think I'd get my old fat self up in there. I could have gotten up into there right after that 7-day fast. I guarantee you I could have just slid right on through there. But right now, I don't get very far from food or water. I'm telling you. All right. Okay. Anybody else? Any news that we need to know about? I ain't even looked at the news lately. All I know is what we prayed, and that's the swamp is being drained, even as we speak. Anybody got a comment? Yeah, Leah.
Hey, you know about the horde of illegal aliens coming to the south border?
I heard something about that, about 1,500 of them headed this way.
Yeah. Trump was saying he's going to put the military on the border and secure it.
Well, I saw another one. I saw another headline that said that Mexico is starting to disperse them. So I don't know.
Well, they came all the way through Mexico, all the way up there, and nobody stopped them at all.
Oh, I didn't know they was already at the border. I thought they was just now coming into Mexico.
Well, I don't know. But
yeah, I don't know either. What it sounded like, Trump called the Mexican president and told him, hey, look, you need to stop that bus or we're going to stop it.
No, they're quite a ways. They're several days in, and towns all the way along have been opening, you know, welcoming them and you know, providing and everything else. So it's like a big concerted effort.
Yeah. What is their agenda?
Well, they were, when they started out, they went through training on how to deal with, you know, life in the United States, they had all that training down on the border for down at the Honduras or wherever they came from. So,
well, I mean,
they're coming.
They're making a point.
They're coming to get free stuff.
Oh,
in
really?
America, yeah. So they can get on welfare and public aid and public schools and everything, and we can spend millions on them. That's what they're coming for.
The organization that started them out was called Worlds Without Borders. So they're trying to make a statement about the border.
That sounds like George Soros. That sounds like something he'd do. That would surprise me a bit in the world. Okay. Well, Lord, we thank you that you're going to disperse them before they get here. Looks like Mexico already is. Just briefly, I saw something about that this afternoon. So I don't know. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this person, and we send them home. In Jesus' name. You know, a lot of the Central American people are good people. I don't doubt that in the world. But boy, there are also some trashy people coming up here. That MS-13 bunch is awful. They're really a bunch of animals. Let's see, let me think of her name. What's her name? Natasha? Yeah, that's Natasha. Hey, Natasha. How you doing? Yeah. I didn't look at those. Is that ears I see on top of your head? No. What is it? Are you a butterfly? Oh, my. Just like Lexi, isn't she? Lexi wears that kind of stuff. Our little 13-year-old girl we got here in the fellowship, she does that. She wear a cat's tail, and she wear a bear head. And she come up with all kinds of bear jokes, you know. I barely can see you. You know, all that kind of stuff. You know how a 13-year-old thinks. And it's good. I always have a big kick with it. Yep, I like the young ones. We made her a treehouse up here, up on top of the hill. And when she's here, she gets up there every now and then. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Matt, go ahead, brother.
I would just like to give a testimony. I just thought about the last couple of nights. I haven't been getting to bed early. And I have to get up early, and it's just, you know, I pray every night before I go to bed that the Lord would wake me up, you know, fully rested. And last couple of mornings, Monday morning and this morning, you know, I'd get up at 4:40 in the morning, and like I got up and I was ready to go. I was like, I had like 12, 13 hours of sleep in 5 hours, you know. So it's just, praise the Lord. He's just so awesome for, you know, what he does for his people. And also, yeah, last night was an awesome meeting. You know, I still felt kind of on that high all day today, you know. Praise you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah. Austin prayed the other morning. He prayed that the Lord would give him supernatural energy to make it through the day, because he was feeling kind of tired. And he said, man, he was pumped all day long, man. He said, I told the Lord, just give me natural energy from now on. That supernatural energy just keeps me going too much. Lord did. He answered his prayer. He was bouncing off the wall. Amen. Lord, do that, won't he, Matt? He'll do that for you. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
That also reminds me. a little while back, the Lord told me to go on a one week water-only fast. And he confirmed it to me. But I was, upfront with the Lord, you know. I was like, Lord, I can't do this if this is going to affect my work, you know, if this is going to affect it, you know, where negatively, because, you know, we just got off of a 7-day dry fast and the 3-day. So it's like, you know, Lord, I've already took enough time off. If I take any more off, you're going to fire me. And so through that whole week, my production never suffered. My work never suffered. You know, I was up front with the Lord and said, I can't do this. You know, you've got to do this through me. You know, otherwise, I'm going to have to eat, you know. But he kept me going. He kept my production up. He gave me supernatural energy. I mean, even if I felt like, you know, how you feel like you're fasting. You know, your body feels weak. It feels tired. You don't feel like you're moving very fast. And it was like the best I've ever done in an hour on this machine is 18 parts. And this 1 hour and one morning, I remember I was feeling like I was moving maybe a quarter of a mile an hour, you know, really slow. And I'm looking at the numbers on the machine, and I did 17 parts that hour. So, I mean, that's the Lord right there. I mean, I know I could physically feel like I'm moving like a grandfather here.
Amen.
But the Lord's moving me like a ninja.
Amen. Thank
that's
you, Lord.
Awesome. So, thank you, Lord.
That pushed me in memory of that testimony of Linda's when she went on that job that nobody had ever done the quota for that particular machine. Never had they ever done it in 8 hours. Nobody. And she was just moaning to the Lord and murmuring to the Lord, Lord, I can't do this. She'd go to the bathroom and she'd just cry out to the Lord, Lord, I can't do this. So finally she just made up her mind. She'd just go ahead and try to do what she could, and what she could do, that's fine. Whatever they couldn't do, that's fine too, because nobody ever met the quota. And she said when she started that thing, she said she dropped back out of her body and watched herself just go automatically. And she had the quota done before noon in 4 hours, what they couldn't nobody do in 8 hours. And she said it was just amazing. Her hands was just doing all the work, and she wasn't doing nothing but kick back and watching, you know, just sitting back there and watching this thing, watching herself go on and do the work. And she got through, and it made the manager mad because he didn't have nothing lined up for her to do, because he thought, well, she's going to be on that thing all day long, you know. Made her mad. She said, what are you doing? The manager said, what are you doing? She said, what do you mean, what am I doing? I'm through. He said, what are you doing? You can't do that. You know, and she said, well, I'm through. So he just stormed off, and she just kicked back and watched everybody the whole rest of the ship. Praise God. Anyway, that was awesome. And that's kind of what you're talking about, too. You just did it. So you don't know how you did it, but you just did it. It is God. It is God. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Go ahead, Malcolm. I see your hand.
Oh, well, I had faith and I unmuted myself ahead of time, so.
All right, just in time.
Yeah, I've been listening to somebody that I back in '71 I heard for the first time, and I'd already been baptized, but I don't think I really knew the Lord until, you know, I went to those meetings. And I just found somebody uploaded a bunch of these sermons from way back then from this guy, and the singing. I remember the singing, but listening to it again, it's just, I mean, it's like, you know, you've heard stories about the revivals over in Ireland and the New Hebrides and during those revivals, but this, you know, the singing there, it was like people were singing top of their lungs, tears streaming down their faces, and this singing is just, oh man, really something else. But anyway, one of the stories this guy was telling, way back, his parents, they grew up on the farm, a whole bunch of brothers, but one day his dad took the three of his sons by a horse and buggy over to the train to go to the Christian school. And he was, of course, back in those days, they didn't have phones and stuff, portable phones. And he was really concerned all the way to the train station. He was really deep in thought, and this guy that was speaking was saying that he knew his dad well enough to know that there's something very serious going on there in his, that he was thinking about. Anyway, his dad finally spoke up and said, you three boys won't be able to come, you know, talk to us, your parents. We've been, you know, trying to guide you through life up to this point. But he said, from now on, you won't have us. But he said, if you'll devote an hour every morning to the time of the Lord, he said, I have no question that you'll be fine, and the Lord will guide you through all these different things you'll be going through. And he said, the speaker said he didn't know if his brothers, you know, what they did or decided to do, but he found out because his dad only sent $10 for the entire school year. So he, the speaker had to work 40 to 60 hours a week on the farm at this school in addition to his classes. And so he had to be up by 4:30 to work every day. And he found out he just couldn't physically spend an hour with the Lord. So the Lord suggested, well, why don't you get up at 3:30? Of course, he was already very sleep deprived. And so he thought, yes, okay, I'll do that. So he set his alarm and got up at 3:30 every morning, even though he was getting to bed so late. And he said it was really like supernatural how the Lord gave him the strength for the day. He said he passed all of his classes, got his work done. But he said the time with the Lord was just absolutely awesome. He said within 20, 30 minutes, the Lord was a lot of detail there, but it's just amazing what the Lord was doing with him, even though he was in a just impossible situation, it would seem. So anyway, I listened to that and I was just crying because I thought, this is amazing. This gentleman, that's how he got his start. Of course, his ministry, as he got older, his wherever he would speak, just places were packed with people that, wanted to come to know the Lord and follow him. And anyway, it was just amazing how the Lord used this gentleman.
Amen. What was his name, Malcolm? I might have heard of him.
His name was Glenn Kuhn.
I've heard that name.
Yeah. He was a straight shooter and he would cut through the garbage and present Jesus. I mean, Jesus was the center of everything, and he talked about the science of prayer, we talk about when you pray, believe that you have received. So that was way back then.
Amen.
Anyway, I was just a kid at the time, but my goodness, we had four of us kids. We were about seventh and eighth grade at the time, The church had purchased a country club, and they kind of changed the dance hall into a meeting place, but they had just purchased it just recently and hadn't had time to do a lot of modifications. So there was a pretty big place where he was speaking, but they had this dance band, which was elevated above, two feet off the ground or so, a foot and a half. And so they put some overflow seating up there, just folding chairs. And they had lights up there, because that's where the band had been before. But anyway, there were only four of us boys, seventh and eighth graders, that had the courage to sit up there with all these people down below us around, it's very exposed. We didn't care. We didn't care one bit. And I remember, this guy would elicit, he would say, I believe at this. What do you, he said, what? He always elicited a response. He would say, what do you say? And, of course, the four of us up there would shout out, amen. We were just totally uninhibited. I don't know how much havoc we wrecked, but we were having a grand time, And, of course, he would, elicit a response, and keep his audience, So we were, and I remember one night after these meetings, and the four of us had kind of a sleepover at one of my friend's place, and it was on a Saturday night, so we decided we're going to, get our sleeping bags and sleep out in our friend's garage there that they'd kind of converted, had one of those old green shag rugs. I don't know if you remember those days. So we had our sleep bags out there, but we talked about the Lord till 4 in the morning. We could not sleep. We were just, what can the Lord do with us? What can we do? And it was just so exciting. Anyway.
Pumped up, was you?
What was that again?
I said, you were pumped up for Jesus.
Eh? Oh, absolutely. We were young. The world was before us, and we wanted to serve the Lord, and we didn't want to serve the Lord like the devil.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's awesome. Okay. You don't want to... Hey, Dave. Thank you. Hey, Barbara. Hey, Chris.
Hi. I'm not,
hey, girl. Praise God. Okay, well, we got a pretty good crowd tonight. That's good. Dave, it's glad that you could join us for the little subject that you brought up a couple of weeks ago. I'm just saying, man, I'm not trying to make you feel condemned. I wouldn't do that to nobody. No, we had a good time actually last week. We got up to what we're doing, I guess, just talking about going through it and reading, talking about it, you know. That's about it. It's really a good study.
How far did you guys get?
Page 20. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It says the unseen spirit realm is where we got to. But we talked about seducing spirits and what they do. And how they come in. If you don't give them a reason to come in, they can't come in, you know. They're double agents. These seducing spirits are double agents. They talk in your mind as if they're your friend and as if they belong to you. But I'm telling you, if it goes against the Word of God, contrary to the Word of God, it's a spirit. It's a bad spirit. We talked about that a little bit last week. So anything that comes against the Word of God that you're thinking that you said or you need to say, it's a spirit. We need to get rid of it. And we can't, you know. And then what was interesting, the person who edited this put a prayer after each little bit, you know, after each little chapter or whatever. And it was awesome. So that's good. Anybody got any comments on what we talked about last Thursday? Do you even remember what we talked about? I'm just asking now. I'm not trying to put anybody under condemnation here. We talked about Luke 11:23, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. So you're either going to be gathering or you're going to be scattering, right? And that means you're either going to be on the attack or you're going to be on the run in the spirit realm. We want to be on the attack all the time. We want to be maintaining, so to speak, rather than on the defensive all the time. Okay. Anybody got any questions about last week or anything this week? Bible says in Revelation 9:1, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven fallen unto the earth. Y'all know that's Satan. And there was given to him the key of the pit of the abyss. And he opened the pit of the abyss, and there went up a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke came forth locusts upon the earth, and power was given them, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was said unto them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only such men as have not the seal of God on their foreheads. And it was given them that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. Y'all, anybody ever been stung by a scorpion? Yeah, I have. I was over in Sahara Desert for 2.5 years, and you had to check your shoes every morning before you put them on. And them things, it's a burning sensation, a real painful burning sensation. It's a torment, I guarantee you. I didn't get stung but once. That's all I kept on looking for them after that. The tormenting spirits are signified by scorpion spirits. In the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18:23-35, the Lord says that he's going to turn you over to the tormentors until you should pay what's due. And those tormentors are those scorpion spirits. And ain't nobody going to see with their physical eyes those creatures that are described from the bottomless pit, because they're coming to the second heaven. It's like the angel here in Revelation 14:6 said, "And I saw another angel flying in mid heaven," or middle heaven, what he's talking about, "having eternal good tidings to proclaim unto them that dwell on the earth and unto every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he saith with a great voice, Fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made the heaven and the earth and sea and fountains of water." That middle heaven means the angel is in the second heaven. That's the one up there. That means you don't see him, although the angel is right here with us in the devil's case, kind of like the twilight zone, y'all. Okay? Spiritual realm. We can see what's in the first heaven, but the second heaven's a different realm. And so this scorpion spirit of Revelation 9 has been given 5 months to torment those people who don't have that seal of God on their foreheads. But they are not able to see this spirit that came out of the bottomless pit. Satan has authority to loose these angels. Revelation 9:1. That the Bible says were held for the end of time, for a time and a season when God was going to judge the earth, Revelation 9:13-15. And Satan was given authority to loose him when he was cast out of heaven. And that's what's happening here. That's what he's talking about here. The Bible says in Revelation 14:11, "And the smoke of their torment goeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night. They that worship the beast and his image, and whoso receiveth the mark of his name." So as you read there, both smoke and torment are also mentioned in Revelation 9. Out of the smoke came tormenting spirits that were like locusts and like scorpions. And we've seen that these are demons with the authority to penetrate and to put to flight. Other demons are mentioned often in the scriptures. Over in Revelation 16:13 mentions one. "And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits, as it were, frogs, for they are spirits of demons." Now, people who have a gift of discerning spirits have seen frogs in the spirit realm. And those frogs were evil spirits, just as the scorpion spirits are evil. I saw a frog spirit one time. A friend of mine, I was up in Conway, Arkansas. A friend of mine, good friend, my old buddy, my best friend at the time, he was calling me over to his house. He said, "You got to see this. This guy he's just full of demons." And I went over there, and we looked across his yard at this guy that was standing out there, and I saw a big old frog that was an evil spirit that was wrapped up around this guy, big old frog spirit. And it's a spirit of perverseness and lust and that kind of stuff, you know. So I've seen that one time. Uh, You know, the devil always sends his big guns after you when you get into a deep trial, a heavy trial that will have a really terrible outcome if you lose it. The Bible says in 1 John 4:18, fear hath torment. And during a battle or a trial, you may have suddenly felt a spirit of fear just come down on you and incapacitate you. Has anybody ever experienced that, where fear just incapacitates you? You can't hardly even breathe. I've had that happen to me. I couldn't hardly even squeeze out Jesus out of my mouth. That spirit had the chokehold on me. And I was walking in my own yard about 3 o'clock in the morning, headed toward my office out there in the shop. And about halfway there, that spirit jumped on me and started squeezing me, and I couldn't, I was just terrified. Terrified. I said, what in the world? And I could just barely squeak out Jesus, and just as soon as I squeaked out Jesus, that fear left.
I used to have that kind of fear before I really got into the Lord and was, walking with the Lord, then actually get baptized with the Holy Spirit and be able to toss that stuff off. But, you know, as a sinner, boy, I just exposed to that all the time, you know. Especially when you're running in the world and doing evil things. Well, that spirit's got a right to be there.
Amen. Well, you know, I was actually at the time, I was a fairly new Christian. I'd probably been a Christian for a couple, 2 or 3 years, maybe a little bit longer, I don't remember. And I knew about warfare, you know, spiritual warfare. I picked that up pretty quick early on in my Christian walk. And I knew that if I could get out Jesus, that thing was going, you know. But boy, I've never been that way. I've never been incapacitated in that type of where it was just choking me. I mean, I couldn't hardly breathe. It was just that prevalent. But never again. But never again. Praise God. That's another one of the devil's big guns, is fear. And if you listen to it, if you give in to it, you're going to run from the devil. Instead of running toward the devil, you're going to run from it. What should we do? Ephesians 6:11, okay? We put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the power, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, praise God. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, withal, taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We should put up a shield of faith to quench those fiery darts of the wicked one. What's the fiery dart do? Well, just like the tail of the scorpion, it's made to penetrate and put to flight. It's made to conquer you. But with the shield of faith, you could quench that fear, that depression, that anxiety, and any other of those fiery darts those tormenting spirits come against you with. Because they can only come against you if your mind isn't right. But if you have faith in your mind, how is it possible for fear to come into you? It ain't. If you have faith in your heart, how is it possible for depression or anxiety or any of these other spirits that seek to take hold of you, conquer you? It can't. Remember what the scripture says about you. Romans 6:11. Even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Don't ever think that any of this depression or anxiety or whatever the spirit may be that's coming against you is you. It ain't you. It's a spirit. And when these kinds of deceiving spirits speak into your mind, that's when you have to put that shield of faith on. Don't accept those thoughts as yours. They're not coming from you, and they don't belong to you. Praise God. All we have to do is take authority over it. Now, there is a doctrine in the apostate church about the holiness of oppression. Has anybody ever heard of that? The holiness of sickness. And they tell you that this martyr syndrome is good for you. But you know, if God promised you an egg, he ain't going to give you a snake, is he? He ain't going to give you a serpent. Luke 11:11 says, and which of you that is a father shall his son ask a loaf and he give him a stone? Or a fish and he for a fish give him a serpent? Or he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? And of course, you know, the serpent and the scorpion represent doctrines of death. But an egg represents life. What some churches have is actually a doctrine of death. That's because they think that God's going to send them a scorpion or some other curse. And as for sickness, they think that they got to put up with it. How many of you think you got to put up with sickness? Ain't none of us got to put up with sickness at all. Not at all. We don't have to put up with none of that garbage. Not a one of it. Let's see. As for sickness, they claim that Paul's thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12:7 was sickness, but it never was. And Paul even said it wasn't sickness. And that, y'all know what that thorn in the flesh was. That was a little demon that went around with him, got him stoned, got him shipwrecked, got all that stuff done to him. It wasn't no sickness. Come on now. Those churches claim that it was sickness in order to make a person going through sickness and suffering feel righteous. What? But most of the suffering that God's people go through is because they don't believe the word of God. God's promises an egg while the devil wants us to settle for a scorpion. And it's sadly true that for most people, what's ruining their life is a scorpion. And if you listen to anxiety or fear or guilt, you're being ruled by the devil. If you listen to shame or unbelief, you're being ruled by the devil. Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom ye present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You can't listen to what God says and listen to what the devil says at the same time. 1 Corinthians 10:21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and of the table of the demons. You can't partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons at the same time, because everything demons will feed you is contrary to the word of God. You're trying to step over into both realms. And you're in double-mindedness. You're in unbelief. God promised us in Exodus 23:27. He said, I will send my terror before thee and will discomfort all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemy, listen to this, turn their backs unto thee, and I will send the hornet before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. Now a hornet, like a scorpion, penetrates and puts to flight. It's a little bitty thing, but it can move a great big man. How many of you know a hornet or a wasp can do that to you? And he does to me. I don't know about y'all. I just have to run when I see it. I'll tell you, I got hit 5 times. I opened my garage door here last year or year before last. I forget. Y'all remember that? Man, before I could get out of the way, 5 of them done popped me. Before I get out of the way, I was running as fast as these old legs could go, man, and they got me anyhow. But you know what? I said, all right, Lord, it's up to you now, because I don't like pain. Anybody like pain? I don't like pain. I don't like pain at all. And I told the Lord, you take this pain in Jesus' name. And I never did feel pain. Never even a bump raised up on my neck, my head, it was all over around this part of my body, you know. Not even a red place. Thank you, Jesus. So you see, God can make our enemies fear us, and they do fear us if we know our authority. If we know what the Word of God says, and we step out and swing that Word of God like a sword in Ephesians 6 and 17, they fear us. Then he talks about his daughter. Our daughter had a dream once about five chickens that represented five evil spirits. Y'all remember that story? That were bothering my mother. Those chickens were chicken. You get that? Those chickens were chicken. Because just as soon as we gave them the word, they ran. Evil spirits fear us. But they recognize whether or not we know the word of God. And they know whether or not we're standing on the word of God. But they'll try to buff us as long as they can. The devil wants us to fear him, of course. He wants us to fear the fiery darts of the curse that he administers. But we know that the word of God says we've been delivered from all of that. Colossians 1 and 13 says, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. And the Bible tells us who we are in Christ. Romans 6 and 11. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. And being made free from sin, you become servants of righteousness. Now that's a sword. That word is a sword for you to whack the devil's lies away from you, right? Praise God. Anybody got any questions or comments on what we just got through talking about here? Hey, Denny. I think he's already landed. All right. Anybody got any comments or questions or anything on what we just got through talking about there reading? Amen. You know, the devil wants you to move. Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Well, it's kind of where you've been, where you're going with it. The fear and the anxiety. And one thing I got out of chapter 3 I was reading is that, you know, that a lot of times people that give in to the fear and anxiety, you know, will attribute it to being weak. But God, you know, in the Bible attributes it to being sin, be fearful and to be and anxious about stuff. And that the verse was given right after that. Because I don't have the book's on the same tablet I'm using for this, but anyways, that the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world, the fear of anxiety, it's the promise in there. It was really helpful for me.
Amen. Is that you, Denny? All right. When you know and you put that word of God in there, that's the sword that you use. You have to put it in to use the sword. Because we all know that. And once you put that sword in there, man, you can use it anytime at will. The devil wants you to move on what he said. But the Lord wants you to move on what he said. And if you don't move on what the Lord says, you don't get nothing. because James 2 and 17 says, even so faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. The devil's kingdom operates the same way. He can come by and put a little thought in your mind, and if you don't accept or move on it, and if you don't chew or meditate on it, you're not guilty. The devil can put these little old thoughts in your mind, but you can reject them. And if he gets a little stronger, you can get a little stronger. You can speak up and rebuke him. And you can throw the word of God right back into his face. Our faith and understanding about what Jesus did for us makes us able to not be fearful of any weapon the devil has. Christ took away the devil's whole armor in Luke chapter 11 and verse 22. He took away all of his power in Matthew 28 and 18, and also in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. He delivered us out of the power of darkness in Colossians 1 and 13. Every bit of this is our shield. You don't fear the devil when you know who you are and that you don't have to give in to him. But however, many people do give in to the devil. They give in to the spirits he sends against them because they don't believe that they have any other choice. Well, there's a reason that the gospel is called the good news. We've got another choice. We have authority over the devil. He has to move when we say move. And if we step out and exercise that authority over him, he's got to move. Every time. Okay, any questions on that part? Or any comments?
A little testimony I had this weekend. There was at my sister-in-law's house, my niece's little boy was experiencing pain, and he was only 6 years old when he tried to urinate. And we just got there, and they wanted to go out. First, you know, we're talking the secular thing, but they had this Easter egg hunt they wanted to go do. But before they're getting ready to go out and everybody's getting ready, this boy's crying and wailing away because he had to urinate often, and when he did, he had all his pain. And it was just terrible to hear it. And but of course you're with the Christians that have no comprehension of the spiritual realm. They don't have any authority over it. They don't understand it. They don't know what their rights are. You know, denominational Christians. And I'm listening, and I'm just, oh, Lord, I can't, you know, I got to do something about this. You know, it's like I got to step in. I can't make a scene of this, but I got to do it where, you know, I can take care of this because I can't, having this knowledge and understanding and knowing my authority, I can't just let this go. So the minute the boy came out of the bathroom with his father, I quick ran over there because they went to this room, and I got in there with him. I said, quick, put your hand on his head with me. I said, we're going to do something real quick. And he says, he kind of put his hand on his shoulder, and I says, okay, fine. I said, and then in the name of Jesus, I said, I cast it out, this demon of pain. In the name of Jesus, I cast off this urinary tract problem, whatever it is, it's got to go now. In the name of Jesus, I says, you're in agreement with this. We're taking authority with this. And thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. And prior to that, I was speaking in tongues, you know, just by myself, walking back and forth in the corner. Done. We walked away. And the boy didn't have any problem the rest of the time we were there. It was just gone. And I guess I'm putting out the authority we have. You know, this little boy had no ability to do this for himself, his own. He had no understanding of that. The parents didn't know. You know, nobody had any understanding of what's going on. But it was just walk in and take care of things. You know, it's like you got to do it. And I did to him before we left. I cornered the father real quick. I said, you seen what we did? He says, oh, yes, it worked. Whatever we did, it worked. I says, you can do that. I says, you have the authority to do that. I says, it worked because we agreed, but you have the authority to do that too. I says, if it tries to come back, you do that too. Just do it. It'll go away. So it was just nice to be able to make a, you know, hopefully an impression. They let these people know and let him know, get somebody on the right track finally. Like, hey, listen, there's, you can open your eyes and see that this authority and this power is still there through the Lord, you know. It wasn't me just stepping in the gap, you know, that's all it was.
Amen. It'll work every time we exert that authority, too. It'll work. All right, anybody else? That word, scorpizo, refers to scorpion spirits. And the devil comes to scatter. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 32, behold, the hour comes, that ye shall be scattered. That word scattered is scorpizo. Every man to his own. And shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Fear scattered the disciples when the men came for Jesus in the garden. They were afraid the same thing was going to happen to them. Fear got them, didn't it? Took over, took them out. But we know that John 3:27 says, a man can receive nothing except it have been given him from heaven. So the devil sent a spirit there to put fear in them. So they would just abandon Jesus in his affliction. And that devil comes to divide as well. There's another word used in the scriptures, and that's diascorpizo, and it means to scatter and separate. A good example of that's in John chapter 11 and verse 52. And not for the nation only, but that he might also gather together into one the children of God that are scattered abroad. That means not only are they scattered from our land, but they are separated from each other. And the devil did it through those scorpion spirits. They divided, they separated, and scattered the body of Christ, just as God warned us through Apostle Paul. Acts 20 and 29, I know that after my departure, departing grievous wolves shall enter. I'm sorry, let me read that over. I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. All of God's people are supposed to be coming out of the bondage they're in and back to this one land. You know what that means? It means that we're supposed to be one. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock and one shepherd. And that's what the tribulation is going to do. God's people are going to become one flock with one shepherd. But for now, they're diascorpizo. They're scattered abroad and separated. God's going to bring them together here shortly. Scorpion spirits separate the body. They separate the flock. And they do this with false doctrine, false understanding, and false thinking. I've heard people say about their teachings, well, aren't you doing the same thing? No. And when you look around us, you see people from all different backgrounds here. We all get along well, very well. We want the flock to be one, but there's only one way that the flock is going to be one. And that's to give up sectarianism. Because sectarianism is a work of the flesh. Galatians 5:19. Y'all know what sectarianism. My little group here is better than your little group because we believe this right here, you know, and you don't. We believe this over here and you don't. Or you might believe that over there and we don't believe that. You know? Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions, and parties. Now, those three words, factions, divisions, and parties, mean contentions, dissensions, and sects. S-E-C-T-S. Verse 21, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The demon spirits come in to make you believe the lie that you're somebody great, or that you have everything you need without the rest of the body. But you know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:13. For in one spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, and were all made to drink of one spirit. The body needs to be one, because the body has different parts of God's knowledge and different parts of God's gifts. And when all of them are put together, the body is edified. It's built up. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom all the body, fitly framed and knit together through that which every joint supplieth according to the working in due measure of each several part, maketh the increase of the body into the building up of itself in love. God wants his flock to be one. And we want his flock to be one. But the devil is warned against this unity. The devil knows that when God's flock is one, it's going to be a powerhouse. And so we need to learn not to be separated from our brethren. We want to know what it is that has deceived our brethren to make them separated from us. The mind-deceiving serpent spirits deceive different members of the body in different ways to keep them from knowing the truth. Since the head wags the tail, the rest of that body, whether it's one person or a group of many people, is going to follow whichever way the head leads. That's the job of the serpent spirits. But other demon spirits do the same thing. They sow their seeds of fear, their seeds of doubt, unbelief, anger, lust, and so on. And if you receive their seed, your flesh will take on their nature. Your flesh will take on the nature of these demonic gods of the lust of the flesh. Now, Jesus sows a seed too. And if we believe and act on and live on it, we're going to take on his nature. The Spirit of Christ has come in order to sow his seed in our hearts, so that our hearts take on his image. Praise God. All right. Any questions or comments on the on that little thing there? Y'all help me out here. Come on now.
Hey, Michael, I'd like to say something.
Yeah, Patrick, go ahead, bro.
This really hit me here. For some reason, well, I saw this in a little bit different way today. I'm just spinning back here to find out where I started. Listen, I need to make a confession. The other night when you prayed for me and I received the healing from my back, and I felt a lot better, felt better. I mean, I didn't have pain in my back or anything like that. I think that was Thursday or something, if I'm not mistaken. But the next day I woke up and I was fighting thoughts about, I don't even remember what the thoughts were, but I woke up battling type of thing. And that night my back was hurting really bad. And so I took a couple Advil. and went to bed. And my back quit hurting, you know, after a while or whatever. But the next morning, I woke up with a battle of fear, of guilt, obviously, because I didn't hang with my faith. I didn't stick with it. And there was like a double-mindedness I couldn't hang with it. I couldn't find the scripture to hang on to. And I just went through like a battle of guilt and fear, and the fears were just overwhelming that day. And yesterday, Monday, I went to work. I started anchoring down on some scriptures and confessed my sin and anchored down on some of the scriptures yesterday and started coming out of it. But yesterday at what's today, Wednesday? Tuesday. I was at work and I was having a problem remembering people's names. And it's like the devil was, I was fighting to keep my mind remembering. And I thought, at that time, I thought, you know what? The devil is trying to scatter, I mean, he's trying to separate me from my mind. And then I started going through scriptures that I have the mind of Christ. I was given the mind of Christ, etc. And went through the whole process. But when we just read this tonight about the devil wanting to scatter, the devil comes to scatter. And this whole unity in Christ, this whole chapter here that you're reading, it just hit me how the devil scatters. The first place he scatters is in your mind. Starts in your mind. And the whole reason is to scatter, to make a place for fear to reside. And then he works the fear number over on you. And when you're talking about feeling that fear that just rushes over you and embraces you and covers you, and you feel like you can't even breathe. I feel that I battle with that a lot of times because my mind seems to, you know, will run with that for some reason. But it just hit me tonight, this whole scenario about scattering, that scattering comes in it starts in your mind. The whole purpose is to scatter the disciples and to separate me from the body, to, you know, be out there alone trying to fight these battles or trying to defend myself or whatever it is. And it seems like over the past years, I mean, I've been a Christian for over 35 years or something like that. And, gone through the denominations and popped out the other side, so to speak. And I have almost kind of had to hunker down myself just to, try to keep, kind of in survival mode, you know, keeping my head ducked down, you know, say certain things in certain groups, it's not all that accepted, you know. And so I've felt like I'm already scattered and separated from the group in many ways. But anyway, I just thought I would, say what I'm feeling here, but this particular chapter just kind of hit me tonight, and it kind of fit with what was happening in my life.
What's going on here? Oh, wait a minute. Can y'all hear me? Okay, good. I was hitting everything but the right button. Anyway, yeah, Patrick, can I pray for you then? Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against fear. We come against anxiety. We come against stress. And Patrick, in the name of Jesus, we command it to go from condemnation. You go in the name of Jesus. All of you, all you tormenting spirits in his mind, go right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you have already taught him how to maintain now. And Lord, even these next few things that we're going to go through will help him as well, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that he's getting it into his spirit now. He's understanding what his authority is. And we praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in all of us, too. Me, too. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it, Joe. Patrick. Yeah, Dave, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I was just going to share, you know, this morning the Lord brought me to Deuteronomy 7, first thing in the morning. I was looking it over. And Deuteronomy 7, if I look it over real quick, I put the whole thing in there. Initially brought me to 7:36, and he's talking about how he's talking about observing things, these offerings. And he said there in the 36, he commanded them to be given to them by the people of Israel from the day that he anointed them. It's a perpetual due throughout their generations. And at first, I had to go back and look through 730, Leviticus 7:36 a little bit, see what he's talking about. And it's all about different kind of offerings for sin, for guilt, for peace offering, and for grain offering. And it's all these offerings. And I was a little, like, confused about it. I thought I'd try to understand it a little bit. And I thought, well, I'm not sure if I understand this, Lord, but I just noted it, closed it out, and I said, Lord, you got something else you want to show me? And I opened up, we saw it again just to get me something, and he brought me right back to Leviticus, but not of 7:1. I thought, oh my gosh, he's trying to tell me something here. And it comes right up to the law of the guilt offering, and he starts going again through, I said, the whole thing's all about these different offerings, you know. And when I said, well, Lord, you know, and I you know, and then I was like you, Patrick, I said, well, I got to confess some things. I started going through my mind, you know, some things I had to wrestle with myself, and making sure I'm confessing things up. And I said, well, Lord, I know that we don't do these offerings. It's like we're not part of this law. This is the law because you're my offering. You took care of that. You are who I put the, you know, all my cares on, my anxieties, my stresses. I says, you fulfill that offering. I just constantly bring that to your altar. I says, I don't have to, I'm not doing this in a legalistic way at all, because it's been completed. I just got to claim the blood and realize that. And I was trying to make sure I had a good, you know, understanding of this. And I was going through today and looking through different things to listen to make sure I'm on the right track. And I can't remember what I was listening to today, but it was really good. But basically, it reaffirms the whole idea about, you know, we're under our covenant is with the Lord, and it's not a legalistic thing we have to get involved in, and but we have to still go before the Lord and put these things on his altar. You know, we still have to make sure we're getting it under the blood for all. We need to be covered, not in the sense because we're trying to be ritualistic and legalistic, but we know that we can go there. We can go to that altar. We can go there, and we get these same things that the Jews have, and it's okay.
But at the same time, right after I did that, he brought me right to Psalms 91. Yeah, hey, guess what? You're in the Passover. You're under the blood, you know, and reaffirming, yes, it's not like you're coming to legalism, but you know where your Passover is at. You know where you're getting your forgivenesses and your guilt offerings and everything else is coming. You come to me, you lay it at me, you lay all those things at me, and I take them. So, as much as we look at the symbolism back in the Old Testament and think, I'm so glad I'm not under this old system, we still get to do the same thing, but not have to ritualistically do it. We just go to the Lord and put it at the altar. Give it to Him. And it's all covered under the blood, you know. It's all covered under the blood. But we don't have to just say, oh, it's done and I don't have to do that again. No, we can still continue to go back there and still put it at the altar and still get the same blessings. And still have the same fellowship, and that peace offering still comes, you know, and we got to partake of that and eat the same, the breads, and then we get to eat some of the offering ourselves, and we're part of that priesthood too, you know. So it's such a wonderful thing that we've got this fulfilled in the Lord, but we still get to partake in that and have the blessing.
Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's go on a little bit. Anybody else got something they'd like to comment on, what we just talked about?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Hey, I just wanted to, you know, it's been on my heart also as I've been really...
Is this Chad? This is Chad. Okay, Chad. All right, brother. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you. You know, after I finished up the 7-day dry fast, which for Charity and I was on the 23rd of March, the Lord sent her and I up on a little road trip up north from where we're at to spend some communion time with Him and, you know, get some refreshing and reviving. And, man, I got attacked after that, like I don't think I've ever experienced. And, you know, I laid down the night after the fast. I laid down ready, thinking I was ready to go to sleep. And I got attacked with a lot of fear, which was linked with condemnation. And the devil was dumping a lot of errors of my past on me, things that... you know, things that I'd left behind, but things that where I stumbled in areas and even fell a few times after the Lord brought me into UBM, and I received a lot of the teachings, and you know, so yeah, I got hit pretty hard that night, and I was feeling fear and anxiety, like, you know, big time. And so I prayed through the night, I cried out to the Lord, and I only got a few hours of sleep, and Charity prayed with me that morning, and, you know, by the Lord's grace, was able to get up and go and drive 5 hours nonstop singing and praising the Lord together. My wife Charity and I were singing and praising the Lord and weeping together for, you know, a good 3 or 4 hours of the trip, and just had a really good time. And then we got up to our destination, up to a small town in Northeast Washington, and I laid down again there. I was getting ready to lay down as I was just, you know, sheerly exhausted because I didn't sleep much at all during the entire fast. I usually don't on fast like that. I sleep maybe an hour or two in any 24-hour period, which is fine. I get a lot more time to pray, you know, and spend time in the Word. And I laid down, and I was getting hit with fear and I was vexations of mind. And I remember at one point it felt literally like something was dividing my mind right down the center, like right to the cerebral cortex of my, you know, of my mainframe in my brain. And it's kind of hard to describe. That's about the best way I can describe it. And I was just, you know, I just held on to the Lord through that first night. There was a lot of shaking, and I kept crying out to Him, and I managed to get some sleep, you know, after sometime after sunrise, I managed to get some sleep. And that day I was able to commune with the Lord, and And you know, Terry and I prayed together, and the Lord encouraged me and was giving us words. And then the following night, same thing. I got really I got attacked really heavy again. And I just remember I was laying in my bed and I was resting, you know, and I've been really pressing into the Lord to find the balance of, okay, where do I rest here on the Word? How much do I rest? Where do I, you know, where's the difference between fighting in the flesh and fighting in the spirit? And I understand some of that difference. I understand that there are times when to be abiding in the rest is to be, it's not resting in the flesh. So, you know, been learning that balance. But anyway, I was just getting laying there getting pounded, and I thought, well, that's enough of this. And I got down on my face on the floor and just laid prostrate on the floor and entered into a travail in the spirit. Just laid myself, you know, prostrate and very, very humble before the Lord. And it broke actually pretty quick, I remember. And I was able to pray in tongues and pray for others. And I really felt the Spirit of the Lord on me there. And I got up and I was able to lay back down. And I listened to the most recent Unleavened Bread Bible study at that time. And I received a lot you know, from that. And I fell asleep and had a better dream that night, because the night before I went through all those terrors. And by the time I did fall asleep, I had a couple of nightmares. And so it wasn't a restful night, you know. But anyway, and then the next night, kind of I felt the same thing, you know. It's just right around night, sometime after nightfall, I would start getting really tired and feeling like I'm ready to doze off into slumberland. That terror would just start to overtake me. So I wrestled through it that night again, and I don't remember that night or the following night. I think it might have been the following night. I just bound up the spirits, like the Lord just quickened me amidst all of that to bind up a number of spirits he brought to mind, and it broke pretty quick. And I was able to, you know, and I had a decent dream that night and was able to get some sleep. But it's been an ongoing battle for me too, and what I've sensed the Lord is doing is really dealing with the spirit of condemnation that has plagued me off and on, especially since coming into UBM. You know, I noticed, I think I shared this before, after I started receiving a lot of the teachings, I felt a lot of self-righteousness rising up in me at the same time. Things started rearing its ugly head. And, you know, I just I was learning about a lot of things then, but I didn't quite know how to take authority over that and begin standing firm against that. So, I remember back then I would try and command certain things, but it was in my own strength and nothing would happen. It's like the Lord was teaching me some humility there too at the same time. And then anyway, later on, as my faith began to grow, I began to see some quick manifestations in some areas. But after Patrick shared, I was thinking on, you know, what I've been going through, and I just really wanted to confess that, you know, in some areas of my mind that I've been high-minded. You know, my brothers and sisters, and I really asked the Lord to forgive me. I've been really confessing that to the Lord. I wanted to confess it to you, because I've sinned in this area, and you know, I realize how much I really love and appreciate everybody in the body, and how much I really need the body. You know, this is the body that the Lord has brought Charity and I into, and I'm very, very thankful for that. And the Lord has done a lot of sifting and dealing with me on things. And I just want to become more and more transparent and really, you know, prefer my brothers and sisters to be not high-minded, but to condescend to, you know, what is lowly, and really have a servant's heart. And I know the Lord has been working this in me. So he's been encouraging me. He's been upholding me through this time. But, you know, the word says, confess your sins one to another. And I also want to confess and ask the Lord to forgive me publicly for thinking on condemnation too much, with things that, you know, I know he's forgiven me from, because there have been times when I've received a lot of miracles and quick breakthroughs, but then the devil would throw something back into my mind from my past, and I would think on it instead of cast it down, you know, immediately. And that's been a great weakness of mine, and it's something that the Lord wants to get rid of completely now. And I've recognized this condemnation as something that is rooted in self-righteousness, because, you know, to me it says that, well, I, somehow I should have done better. I wish I wouldn't have done that or this and that. But, you know, I want the repentance not to be repented of. I really want to bear more good fruit here, bring forth this, you know, fruit worthy of repentance more. And so I thank the Lord for his good work. I've asked him to not let up until this is really dealt with. And it's been very difficult, but I want to be, I really want to come to a place of you know, complete humility and brokenness where there is no room for pride and, you know, the self-righteousness. And I know all condemnation and fear will be shut out, and so will doubt and unbelief. So just love everybody here and appreciate everyone, and I would appreciate any prayers anyone feels led to pray for me, and that the Lord continue to uphold me and give me wisdom to let this sifting work go down to the very, you know, depths and the core of my being, so that I can just have nothing but Christ left.
Amen, brother. I'm going to pray for you, just like what happened to Charlie and Linda. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that your angel is right there pushing out darkness. And Chad, pushing out all them corners of darkness out of his heart, Lord, and we thank you for it. And in fact, Father, I thank you that your angels are doing that in every one of us, that those angels are there in this house, and they're pushing out darkness out of every corner of this house and of those houses that are in my brothers and sisters. And I thank you for it, Father, that we are coming to that place of sanctification, humbleness and meekness towards you, Lord, to where you can use us fully in the days ahead. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I believe that, y'all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Michael, can I tag on to that?
Yes, sir.
I want to just join with Chad on that, in his same sentiments that he's talking about, because I really relate to that, you know, the fear and the guilt and the condemnation always being drug up from the past, and just the feeling that I'm no good, you know, not accepted, or whatever else the devil can throw at you. So I know that it's, I just want to be unified with Chad in that. I don't know Chad or anything, but I'm certainly feeling exactly the same thing that he's feeling, and therefore I received the prayer that you prayed for him for me as well.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Leah.
Well, I just wanted to say the things that Pat just shared and the things that Chad shared have a lot to do with what David just shared about the sacrifices and so forth, that we don't need to do those ritualistic sacrifices, but we have to come to the Lord always and confess our sins. And that made what Dave was saying made me think of 1 John chapter 1 verses 8, 9, and 10. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So to say that I don't have to do that anymore because I'm not under the law, you're deceiving yourself. But then verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now we've all, none of us have attained to perfection by faith we've attained to perfection, but in reality we haven't yet, you know. So that's the whole idea, is to continue to confess your sins, and that's a sacrifice that we give. And then verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So those are three things right there that encompass exactly what Dave was saying, exactly what Chad Pat brought forth, because that's us. And we can all relate to those things. You're not a man, you're not an island, you know. You're just a man like we are, and I'm just a man like you are, and I have the same problems you have. And there will be times when I'm very victorious and times when I'm
Uh-oh, your audio's cutting up.
That's basically what I wanted to say. Anyway, I thought that was a good analogy. Just what Chad and Pat said was a great analogy of what David just said.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I was wondering why he brought Matt to me today, and I thought, I'm not sure, you know. But, you know, I used it. You know, I definitely used it because I thought, I'm not going to ignore the Lord, because I knew this came from the Lord right then, because he brought me back there real quick. Okay, this is the Lord talking. Pay attention. You know, try to figure this out. Take my time. Go through this. And examine my life. You know, examine yourself. That's what everybody here, we have to do. I guess that's part of the message too tonight is just, you know, make sure we're examining our hearts, you know, and it's okay. Bring it to the Lord, you know, and be transparent with him, because that's what we have. We have that wonderful gift right here. We don't have to wait. We don't have to go grab a goat or a lamb or whatever it is and get this thing prepared for the priest to take the offering on a Sunday or wherever they did it, you know, or a Monday or whatever day of the week you can make it work. You know, we can just go right now. So it's so wonderful that we have that, but we sometimes forget. I think we just forget. And the guilt offering thing, you know, I had to think about that and think, you know, I remember, don't you guys remember how guilty you felt most of your life and the life that you had before and some of the things that comes back in your mind, and you think, oh, God, you still feel that pain. You can live it if you wanted to. But, you know, I thought, you know, Lord, that guilt offering means I don't have to go back and visit that again. Why do I want to keep on bringing this back into my life? It was paid for. That's what the offering did. You know, let's lay it at the altar and leave it. Now, if I have to pick it up, why am I doing that? I left it there with the Lord. I want to leave it there. I want to go forward now. That's the point about our offering is, it's not something we have to repeat anymore. We bring it there once, and we lay it, and it's done. It's complete. It's finished with the Lord. There's a difference in our offering. There's a difference in how our sacrifice and what we're bringing to the Lord, there's a difference in how it's handled now. You know, we don't have to keep on picking it up anymore. If Satan's going to keep on bringing us back into you, realize real quick that's the attack of the enemy. And I don't have to listen to that because it was dealt with. And I already dealt with that with the Lord, and he took it. The Lord's going to give me my Passover. He's going to be like Psalm 91 now. He's given me that. And I don't have to listen to that anymore. I got the Psalm 91 Passover.
Amen. You can't see through the blood anymore, can you? Blood covers all that. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, Lord of God, it's good. It's good. What do you think, Willie? Willie hiding behind that wooden clarinet or sax. He's going to have to bring that thing on and play it one of these days. Go ahead, Chad.
Hey, it's me again. Hey, thanks for sharing, everyone. I really, really appreciate that. I feel very encouraged and uplifted and just really appreciate it. Hey, the Lord brought some to my attention. You'd asked earlier, Michael, if anyone had any news. And I feel like I think the Lord would have us pray concerning this. You know, Charity works at in the public school system out here in Oregon. And there was something brought to the teachers and staff's attention today about a note that was sent out over in the UK. Don't know whether it's really a hoax or not. Either way, it looks like the notice went out to a bunch of people to try to stir something up. It's called Punish a Muslim. And basically the essence of the note is, you know, like they have hurt you, they have made your loved one suffer, They've caused you pain and heartache. What are you going to do about it? And they're telling them literally to go attack Muslims in a bunch of really horrific ways. And I got the sense that what came to me was wars and rumors of wars, you know, spirit trying to stir up war. So they said it hasn't hit the U.S. yet, as far as they know, but this came out over in the U.K., and it's really diabolical. It says if they do a certain thing to a Muslim, they get so many points for each act that they do, that a person does in revenge against the Muslim. So I figured we should pray against this spirit that's at work through this writing. If that seems good, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff. That'd be great, man. We'll believe with you.
Okay. Father, thank you for bringing us. Thank you for bringing this to our attention, Lord. And, you know, this was no mistake. This came up today, and you brought it back to my remembrance, Lord. And thank you that you have given us authority over all of these spirits, Lord, and that you're giving us authority to stand in the gap for this country, for our brothers and sisters, Lord, for others to be able to get things right, for you to be able to get things set up, Lord, so they can be placed in the body where you want them. Before the big outbreak of the things that are coming begin to happen. So we bind up the spirit of faction and hatred at work through this notice in the name of Jesus, and we forbid your power against God's elect, especially in this country. We forbid your power to work in this country in Jesus' name, and we break your power that's at work over in the UK. We bind up spirits of fear and jealousy and revenge at work through this, and we forbid your power in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for your Lord of the harvest sending out angels to bring in the Muslims into the kingdom, Lord. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for the blessings to hit that Muslim religion, Father, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to do a mighty work in them. Lord, we just believe that. We thank you for it, Lord. And Lord, they're trying to, it sounds like, I've never heard that, but it sounds like they're trying to eye for an eye stuff, Lord. And that's, all the Muslims aren't doing that. It's just the terrorist part of them. But Lord, we thank you that you're going to quieten down that bunch in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for revival starting over there in the UK. They need it, Lord. They have given up on you for whatever reason. They have turned their backs on you, Lord, and this is a result of it. They've got chaos going on over there. But, Lord, we know that you can change this. We pray for revival in that country. We pray, Lord, that they would have a revival start with your people over there, Lord, and go throughout that whole Great Britain island over there, Lord, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Father, that you are the great God, the great I am. And Father, we know that there's people over there that you have chosen, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that you're placing it in their heart to pray for this revival in their country in Jesus' name, and to pray this separation down, this division, this faction down in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that your angels are already on the way over there to quell this stuff. Father, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask that you go with us as we go about our business and then come again. Just be with us, everyone, every step that we take, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are showing us what our authority is in you, that we are sanctified in Christ by the blood of Jesus. And not only that, Lord, we have faith because you've given us that faith to move mountains. And we can move them out the way because there ain't a mountain out there that can't be moved by Christ. Lord, you're our nuclear bomb. You're even more powerful than an atomic bomb, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we can be all things in you when we have to be. And all the blessings of heaven are available to us, Lord. And we praise you for that, Lord. We thank you that you're teaching us to come against the enemy that talks to us, sits on our shoulder, and tells us some nasty things that we don't want to hear, that you're not good enough, that you can't got no, you don't have any faith, you don't da 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 da. Lord, we thank you that you're sitting up there. You're telling you, you got it all, brother. 1 Corinthians 3:18, we look in the mirror every morning. We say, we're Jesus. We're going out. We're going to bless people's lives with the Word of God. We're going to bless people with the light of the gospel. And Father, we thank you that you're placing that in their hearts. Lord, I ask and I pray that you're bringing us all into this one accord, our hearts all into this one accord. And your angels are pushing out darkness out of us. So the minute that we all come into that great one accord, revival starts and breaks out here and goes throughout the world. Lord, we just praise you for the work you're doing in all of us. We thank you for that 7-day fast that you gave us, Lord. It was hard, but after it was over, Lord, it didn't seem so hard after that. But Father, we thank you that we're being obedient to your every command, Lord. We want to do what you want us to do. We want to live like you want us to live, Lord. We want all this darkness out of our hearts. We want nothing but the light of the gospel shining in each one of us. We don't want nothing but Jesus. When people look at me, they're going to say, there's Jesus. When they look at my brothers and sisters here on the fellowship, they're going to see Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to come back with us Thursday night, Lord, and be with us this whole time during that period of time. And we're going to learn some more about this delivered from dark powers, Father, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, for placing it in Dave's heart to tell us about it, Lord, and that we could get into this, because it looks like it's helping folks, Father, and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Amen. All right, folks, we're out of time. God bless you. We'll see you again Thursday night. Let me unmute everybody. All right.